Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
My guest is Dr. Andrew Adisman. He's Chief of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics at Stephen and Alexander Cohn Children's Medical Center of New York. We're talking about ADHD. Now, your child is older. They've been living with this condition for years. And as a parent, you're encouraged to continue addressing this functioning problem and meet, you know, regularly with the treatment team. So, Dr. Adisman, when do you involve your child in their own treatment process?
Well, you know, the typical or standard treatment for a child with ADHD will be, let's say, threefold potentially. Medication is part of it. Behavioral interventions are a second important part, and that's typically at home with the parents. And then third, there may be some academic accommodations or interventions. In terms of teenagers, we want them obviously to assume greater responsibility for independence as a stepping stone, you know, high school being a stepping stone to college and independent learning. But the reality is, on the other hand, when it comes to medication, I think that parents do need to stay involved, especially in the earlier high school years. As kids start getting ready to go off to college, and many will, but some may end up be best off staying, you know, closer to home with parents nearby. But as kids are seniors, high school seniors, I think that there they can take greater responsibility for medication. Because the medicines that are often prescribed for treatment of ADHD can sometimes be, you know, given to kids' friends. They can potentially be sold. You know, I think that there's concerns about diversion or misuse of these medications, and so I think parents do want to be vigilant for those possibilities and make sure that the child and only the child is getting the medicine.
So basically, in the class of medications, and you're saying that they can be sold and such, so that is definitely a concern. And if it's like an amphetamine, a stimulant, you know, some of these medicines that are out there, I can see that that's definitely an issue. So your teenager, the social emotional pressures start. Does ADHD and ADD, Dr. Adisman, when these pressures start, are they worse for somebody like that? Do they have more of an issue dealing with those pressures? So parents have to stay extra vigilant at those times?
Well, we know that sometimes kids with ADHD will have problems with, you know, peer relations. They sometimes think they're more successful socially than they really are. And they may find themselves on the outs, either because of, you know, behavior problems, you know, what, you know, being a class clown may be endearing in a grade school child, but if kids are in high school and they're seen as a behavior problem or disruptive or otherwise inappropriate, it can be ostracizing or alienating. I think that parents do need to be sort of mindful of how their kids are doing socially. Hopefully the kids will have friends, hopefully have the right friends, but you want to be on the lookout for possible signs of mild depression, signs of anxiety, or more disruptive behavior problems. Some of the more severe behavior problems in the kids with ADHD that includes hyperactivity, those children can have, you know, greater behavior problems, oppositionalism and defiance during their teen years, and that's where, you know, behavioral counseling may be an important adjunct to therapy, which may not have been done earlier.
Do you find that parents are reticent about the medications that are available? Because some of them are pretty hefty, those medicines for ADHD. And as I've looked at lists and, you know, Ritalin and Adderall and the ones we've heard about for so many years, do you think that parents are afraid of these meds now, Dr. Adisman? Oh, I don't want a zombie. I don't want my child. You know, have you heard this?
Well, I think that there, you know, continue to be concerns from many families about this, and either, you know, misconceptions or myths in terms of things like addiction. We know that kids do not get addicted to these medicines. The zombie thing is something that's overplayed, and usually just typically refers to a child being a little bit on the quieter side if the medicine dose is too strong, and that's usually easily fixed with a reduction in the dose of the medicine. I think that what parents need to understand is that although there may be some new sounding or new names to medications, most of the medicines that we're using for treatment of ADHD are the stimulant medicines, which have been available in one form or another for decades, and that have been used in millions and millions of kids, and they've been studied probably more than just about any other group of medicine in children. So as much as that there's sort of a social stigma to some of these medications, the reality is from a medical standpoint, from a pharmacologic standpoint, there's a very, very high level of comfort by pediatricians and other doctors in terms of both their safety and their effectiveness.
So what would you tell parents listening, Dr. Adisman, in dealing with their child who starts to say to them, I'm different, Mom, or I have to take this medicine every day before I go to school, or, you know, the kids aren't liking me? I mean, I know there's counseling available, but what would you say to the parents to answer those questions? Because now kids are starting to become more aware of their own situation, and they're going to ask questions.
And teenagers sometimes may be their own worst enemy when it comes to sort of putting up barriers to effective treatments. If medication is part of a treatment plan, then hopefully that medicine is going to be making a significant difference. The benefits will be perceived by parents, teachers, and the teen himself. And hopefully, you know, there'll be no side effects or minimal side effects. The medicines, it's important to remember, are not a cure, but they do often lead to significant benefit. And although it'd be wonderful if there were no side effects, occasionally we do have mild side effects, although they're, you know, the goal is to have the side effects be minimal relative to the benefits. I think teens particularly need to, you know, recognize and need to speak with the doctor. They need to have their questions answered. They need to feel comfortable that they're doing the right thing. And if there's no perception of benefit from medicine, then something has to be done differently. It doesn't mean give up on medicine altogether. It just means that something, you may need to go to a different formulation, a different dose, a different regimen. And I think teens particularly need to be included in decision-making regarding medication management as well as other treatment interventions.
Well, and that's what I'm asking, is because parents get these questions and they say, okay, well, we'll go back and see the doctor and they can explain to you why we're doing it this way. Or, you know, how do the parents answer these questions now?
Well, certainly parents can turn to their pediatrician for help in answering questions, because parents may not be the best equipped to do so. I think that, you know, teens, the older the pediatric patient, and teenagers particularly, you need to get them to understand what their problem is and what the options are. And I think it's important, although somebody may focus, for example, on the side effects of taking a medicine, you have to look at what the cost or consequence is for not taking a medicine. And so it's really not whether or not we have a perfect medicine to offer families, but rather whether the benefits of one type of treatment will outweigh any either inconvenience, any cost, any minor side effects that could be associated. And even non-pharmacologic treatments, in a sense, do have certain costs, whether it be time, effort, inconvenience, stigma, whatever it may be. And I think that teenagers need to understand it. And I think it's important that both parents and kids need to appreciate that ADHD can take its toll, not just in terms of academic performance and kids, you know, underachieving in school, but that there can be, so to speak, a consequence in many other areas, both socially and behaviorally as well.
And I think, and that's where it comes into play, that maybe the pediatrician and the teen have a little time alone to talk about these sorts of things. In the last 20 seconds or so, Dr. Adisman, your best advice for kind of gearing your teenager up for what they're dealing with?
Well, I think teenagers need to feel comfortable speaking about concerns and problems with their parents. And just as you said, they need to feel like they have a relationship with their pediatrician. Pediatricians will be most effective dealing with teens if the teens see the doctor on their side, not just as sort of an ally of the parent. And I think that relationship's important to cultivate as kids, go through adolescence.
That's such an important point, because teenagers see us as the enemy anyway, and if they think we're in cahoots with the pediatrician boy, that can really double up the feelings that they have. For more information, you can get it on the American Academy Pediatrics consumer website, healthychildren.org, or right here on Radio MD. As always, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children and Radio MD. Stay well.